Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this October 22nd, Session 39. Your host and program director here, James J., with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habager. Seth, the mics are on. Let us roll.
Yes, indeed. Welcome one and all to our show here. And we have someone that, well, I know really, really well.
Really needs no introduction.
No. At least not from me. I'll let James go ahead and do the introduction here.
We have with us one of our favorites. We have Beth Habager is with us today. Of course, Beth with the Moravian Church, along with a lot of our local theater here in central Wisconsin. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today and kind of wrapping up a couple of things. Well, wrapping up something and talking about something else and a new show that is on the horizon. We'll get into all of that today and have some fun while we're at it. So thank you very much for being here with us today, Beth.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you don't mind, I'd like to rewind to start things off and get to the book sale that just wrapped up with at the Moravian Church. How did that go?
It went extremely well, and we were thrilled. We had over 300 people, I believe, come through, and we've raised, at this point, we're still in the final tallying, but just over $3,200.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. So it went really well. All of that money is going towards scholarships at Midstate, which is great. The story that has really touched my heart in all of this is I had the pleasure of being the one at checkout, so I got to see and meet a lot of people that were coming through. And a gentleman whose wife was a part of the AAUW, so the American Association of University Women, who founded this book sale when it was at the library and then at the mall and then got brought to our church. His wife was a big part of founding this, and he was very, very pleased to see it was still going, asked what we were doing with the books, and when I shared with him that this year we found places for all of the books to go, we're not recycling anything, unless you consider giving it to other organizations to do something with recycling. So our children's books are all going to the food pantry to be handed out to families who have children so that the children have books. We were able to gift some to St. John's Lutheran Church in Kellner, who will be having their bazaar with book sales. So look at their website to find out when that's happening. We were giving a lot of our paperbacks, all of our paperback novels and some of our nonfiction as well, to the jail. So the inmates have something new to read as well. And then there's a new bookstore that will be opening up or has just opened in Adams that said that they will take it and be able to resell whatever they can.
First off, nothing but great news right there. I don't even know which one of those to touch on first, but I am curious, are these organizations people that reached out to you guys? Did you reach out to them? How did you find a home for all these books?
Well, the St. John's one happened at the sale. So one of their women who helped coordinate all of this came through and said that they were having theirs. I'm like, would you like any books? You know, what can we do to support you? And they gave us a list of the things that they would accept. Cool. So we sent six boxes over earlier this week for them to use. And all of our DVDs and CDs that didn't sell are over there as well. Cool. So there's another chance for them to be used. Yeah. With the jail, we knew the inmates can only read paperbacks. Yeah. So we reached out to them. And in the past, we've donated things to the jail. And in fact, the gentleman whose wife was a part of it said, I wasn't sure if you were aware. I said, yes, we are. So in fact, not only are we doing that one, but we have these other things that we're doing, which his heart, he was almost in tears. So grateful that we're continuing this work. Yeah. And it's a wonderful cause, and we want to be able to support all of this. With the books at Focus, in the past, I've worked with Dale there and asked, you know, what can we do to support you? Would you be interested? And he said, oh yeah, we're always interested in children's books. Either to give away or to have there for the children to read while the parents are getting their food. So it just seemed right to say, let's just give all of our children's books. In the future, maybe hoping to work with United Way to see what we can do to coordinate with that as well. And Adams, our chair of the committee, happened to know this woman and was just made contact. And that's how we were able to find out, hey, they'll take it.
So I'm just a little blown away by this because, for one, I think that there's so many layers to this. The books themselves, these are things that could end up in landfills, it could end up in, you know, in places like that, anywhere that we don't want them, basically. Mm-hmm. So them finding in a second life, that's a wonderful thing right there and certainly helps our planet, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. The different organizations that you're getting these books to, the leftovers, if you will, when it... just speaking on this right away, as it's a bit of my background, one of the things that my father struggled with in when he was locked up was you can only work out for so long.
Right.
And there's only, you know, so many guys there that are going to get their GED or something like that, which is something my dad did. But once that wrapped up, it was kind of like, okay, I'm looking for things to read. And, you know, as most people out there can imagine, not a lot of selection in a prison bookstore, you know.
Right.
You know, you're taking what you can get. You're not going there reserving books. You're not, you know, the idea that they have more options, it may not seem like too big of a deal to people out there. For one, gives those inmates hope, gives those inmates something to look forward to, which gives them the, again, the whole purpose of prison is for to rehabilitate.
Right.
This is a part of that rehabilitation process, giving them those things. So that benefits all of society because these people, everything goes the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. They get out in society, they're taxpayers, boom, boom, you know, it wins for everybody. Mm-hmm. The idea of the kids at Focus, or families of Focus, and these kids getting those books. Mm-hmm. Again, as somebody who was a kid going to Focus and getting that food and everything, I can't imagine what that would have meant to my brother and sister and I.
Right.
That's a beautiful gift to be able to give to people who are coming there. They're not coming there because they got a lot. They're coming there because they things like this they could use and are going to make good use of these books.
And as wonderful as what the United Way does, not all families are comfortable going to pick out a book there.
Yeah.
And this way, it's just a part of their box, that what they get from the shelter. So these kids will have their own books to read.
And not at all trying to read too into the in between the lines here or anything like that. But I can't help, and I've noticed this a couple of times we've talked, Beth. I learned, and I've told you this from the get-go, I don't come from a church background. Mm-hmm. I don't come from a very much of that. And I learn a lot of that through you and Seth. And one of the things that stands out to me so much that I never would have known is how much churches, in particular the Moravian Church, looks out for the gray. Mm-hmm. Looks out for the gray area of life. There's a lot of things that cover the black and white. There's a lot of things that cover big causes or organizations or groups that we all understand. Hey, cancer research. Hey, this needs this. Churches, and again, in particular, our Moravian Church here in Wisconsin Rapids does such a beautiful job of this group of people that not a lot of people are looking at that could really use some attention. We're gonna put our focus on that. We see you.
Right.
We're gonna help you. The purpose of this event, while it's fun to bring people together and to get books into books into people's hands and everything, is to raise money for this scholarship that in particular helps out people that are not everybody's looking out for.
Right. It's a non-traditional student is the one receiving the scholarship.
Right. So that alone, that's a win right there. But then you add on these extra wins with the leftover books going to other groups that, again, not everybody always thinks about. Ain't anybody caring about prisoners? Nobody gives a damn about my father and my you know, people like that and everything. That you do is so cool that we have a portion of our society thinking of that we have people that are thinking about not so much Focus and just the blanket of the family. No, specifically the kids in that family.
Right.
Like, these are things that impact our society, that impact our community, and they're so vital. You would know if they weren't there. I'm just a big tip of the hat to you, to the board, to everybody that thinks of these things, and to our other churches, to our other organizations out there that do pay attention to this gray area. It's pretty cool to see. It's just, I wanted to make a note of that because I don't know. I hope other people notice that too.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we try to live out our faith, and Jesus always went to the marginalized, those outside of society, and so those are the people that we look to say, hey, you are still loved, you are still a part of God's community, so we want to be able to support you in your need.
That was his bit.
Kind of the example that he gave us.
That's really good. I appreciate that. Anything as we're wrapping up the book sale and looking forward to next year's already, anything you wanted to mention?
One of the questions that we got continually is when will you take books again? Because several
I got all these books over here.
We did have at least one person bring books with them and drop them off as they were going in. So
book exchange.
And we gladly accepted them, and those few we were able to put right back out. But we tend to do our collecting over the summer. So you'll find our bin, and you can start to bring them to the church, usually Memorial Day weekend, and we go through at least Labor Day weekend, and sometimes beyond. Like this year, we included the month of September. I don't know right now if that's what we'll do next year or not. Mm-hmm. But what we told people as they came through is, you know, when you read these books, put them in a box and bring them back to us next summer so that we can resell them and make more money from them. So we have some books, and there's a lady, and I thought this was a wonderful thing. She writes her initials in pencil in the front cover so that when she comes back, because she donates books, when she comes back, she'll check to make sure it's not a book that she's already read.
That's magnificent.
So that she's not buying back the book that she just gave.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
So, you know, if you have bought books and are looking for a place that once you've read them and you're thinking, hey, somebody else should really read this book, donate them to the book sale next year, and then we'll have those books to be able to sell to raise more money next year for more scholarships in the years to come.
It all adds up. And again, thank you to you and all the volunteers and everybody that helped out with that, the people that dropped off books, certainly the people that came and purchased books. Thank you for investing in our community. Thank you for being a part of things over at the church.
And thank you all for the support. This has been, I think, one of the most successful years we've had. And thank you to the station for helping us promote it.
Speaking of things to promote.
Oh, yes.
We have got a fun one coming up here. And it's literally, it's already happened because you're hearing this show on Sunday as we're recording it the other day.
You missed the opening.
Yes. But we did have it open. Our fall session, our winter farmer's market is up and running.
Yep. It started yesterday morning and it's going, we've extended the hours from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. now.
Yeah, I noticed that.
This year we have some food vendors. So we are excited that we're still in contracts. I'm hoping because, you know, let's pull back the curtain. We're recording before the sale happens.
Yeah.
Even though it's airing after.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that all of the details have been worked out so that on Saturday morning, the egg rolls will be there.
Ooh.
So that was one request that we kept getting this past winter. And so we've been doing what we can to try to make that happen.
Cool.
But we've talked with several of the Amish families that you see over the summer. So we have some of them. The fry pies are back.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, come check it out. And what I said last year is still true this year. We don't know who's going to be there from week to week. I mean, we have some that will do just a month, some that will do a season, some that will do the whole time. And we go from October through the end of May. So over the winter, if you're looking for a safe place to go and be warm and possibly get something to eat, come to the Moravian Church Saturday mornings into the afternoon from 9 to 2. Come check us out because it's not going to be the same variety every week. It changes from week to week.
People, especially as the winter is coming, and as it does, we look for indoor things. We live in shacks. we go from shack to shack. We just, you know, one thing to another, as long as it's indoors and warm.
Right.
So it's a good note about for something to do even. That part of it is awesome, even if just coming to browse or anything. But the idea that the variety is there, I think, is going to certainly bring people in. And there has been a rise of love of farmers markets. And the only downside is that we lose them. And now in this area, we don't have to do that. We don't lose that.
Seamless change. The last Saturday we had the outdoor farmers market was October 14th. And the first Saturday we have it indoors is October 21st.
It's really
seamless
cool.
transition this year.
I'm happy for our consumers, for our economy, for our community when it comes to that. But most importantly to me, the vendors, the people out there that have very few opportunities to keep the lights on, to make money, them having another opportunity to not have to close shop, to be able to sell, that is a huge, it's not, we got to make this nest egg work. Now it's, we have the nest egg and the sales that we get from the rest in winter and everything can only add to that and help us come spring, summer. It's helping our overall economy, let alone our ag industry, and so that's so vital today in today's day and age. That's a pretty cool thing too.
And just a reminder, our building is completely accessible. We have a ramp to get into the building. We have an elevator in the building. The aisles will be wide enough for you to be able to get through. We want to make sure anybody and everybody who would like to come is able to come.
We'll be reminding people every Saturday on Over the Back Fence and during the week on our morning show about this. But another quick reminder, the farmer's market is up and running. The winter farmer's market is up and running.
We're going.
Over at the Moravian Church. I also did want to include in this, Beth, if I am a vendor and I would like to be a part of things, how can I do that?
You can go to our website, and if you go top right-hand corner on the front page, click the more, go down and there is a tab specifically for vendors. There's also a tab that simply says Winter's Farmers Market that has information on the market as well.
Very cool.
We also have a Facebook page, Wisconsin Rapids yes. Winter Farmers Market. So there'll be, yeah, say that five times fast.
Yeah.
So there'll be updated information there. There's already a post with the vendors that were there on October 21st. So please feel free to check that out. If there's a vendor that you want to see, you can message us through there. There's also contact information on that page.
Appreciate the time, Beth. And you can find out more about the things we've been talking about the Moravian Church at WRMoravian.org, WRMoravian.org. Be sure to go to YouTube as well and type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Subscribe to that page and you can keep up to date on not only things going on at the church, but every Sunday. What time is it usually released, your
From September through May is our what we refer to school year schedule. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Sunday school at 9. Our worship services will start to air around... We start at 10:15, but because of privacy issues,
yeah.
we tend not to get going till probably around 10:20-ish. So if you get there and we're not on yet, just be patient. We're getting there. There may have just been a few more sure. prayer requests that are shared within the congregation before we go live on YouTube.
Excellent. Again, thank you, Beth, for the time. And find out more at WRMoravian.org, WRMoravian.org. Let's take a quick break, come back, and talk theater.
All right.
Yes. Talk a little theater coming up on Director's Cut. Welcome back to Director's Cut here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James and Beth with you. That's why I almost went morning show. I'm used to doing the morning show with you guys.
That's true.
Why.
This is true.
That's what I'm going to use it as an excuse.
This is more like at home where Seth can't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, just sitting there quiet.
It does.
Shaking my head.
It is hard for him.
It can't be.
It is. I want to talk with you, Beth, a little bit about the Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater's next production, Crazy for You.
Yes.
Understand that you are in this production.
I am in this production because of the wonderful event that we had at the church with the book sale. That happened to be the closing weekend of the production here in town for Blythe Spirit, which went really, really well.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to be on stage with that one, unfortunately. But the performance dates for Crazy for You worked out much better with my schedule. So if you have seen me in the past, want to see me on stage again, and come see a wonderful show. Crazy for You is a high energy, very entertaining musical. All of the songs were written by the Gershwins.
Yeah.
So there, you know, if you're a kid in the 80s like I was, and you remember the Delta commercials that the jingle.
Yep, yep,
I just say that, you know, that is appears different places
interesting
in the show. So you can come and just listen for that if you want to. But, you know, and one of the blessings is we have one of the original Broadway cast.
Wow.
In this show. Joel Goodness has come back. Mm-hmm. He was in the ensemble on Broadway when the show won a Tony.
Yeah.
And he is now playing one of the leads, Zangler, in this production. So it's been so great working with him. It's more fun watching him during rehearsals. Because he hasn't forgotten anything. He will sit there and do some of the tap routines from when he was on Broadway, and he'll sing with the songs that he remembers. And it's so neat to hear the stories of the actors that he's been in with. But it's a fun show. Our two young leads are doing a great job knocking it out of the park. And there's a lot of dancing, and we don't necessarily have professional dancers. And so the cast has been doing a great job. I also have to give a shout out to Carrie Dreger and her partner Chris as they interact, and it's some of that comic tension going on. But yeah, I play a very minor role, what you would call a featured player. I play the wife of a couple from England, Patricia Fodor, and we go around and we're trying to create a series of travel books. So they're just in the town to kind of see what's going on. But it's a lot of fun. This cast is great.
Yeah.
It's been worth the drive back and forth to Stevens Point. So if I can do it on a regular basis to rehearse, those of you in Rapids can do it once to come see it. Absolutely. If you would like. And you can do that October 27th, 28th, 29th, November 3rd, and 4th. The 29th is our matinee. That's a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. The rest are evening performances starting at 7:30.
Big fan of Carrie. Wonderful mm-hmm. human being. And just as much a wonderful person as a good a performer and yes. actor and entertainer yes. and everything. I have rambled about Joel Goodness quite a bit on these airwaves. Joel, of course, joining us on Director's Cut yep. once, getting the chance to talk with him.
Yeah, and a quick note on that, too. If you want to hear, because he talks specifically about being part of Crazy for You, mm-hmm. go to civicmedia.us, go to shows, go to Director's Cut, find Joel Goodness on there, and you'll hear his wonderful story, not just about that, but some other experiences he's had throughout his life.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great show.
There's few yes. people that, given the chance, I would trade talents with. Joel, top of the list. I envy and admire his talent every time I think about him. Like, literally, every time he pops in my head, one of the first things I think of is, my God, that man's talented. Mm-hmm. I am jealous. I mean, I admire. No. But in all seriousness, Joel doesn't have to do these things.
Right.
When he gives his time and puts himself into this stuff, for one, it's a passion and he loves to do mm-hmm. it, but it shows how much he cares about this area, cares about the arts in this area, mm-hmm. and that he wants to be a part of them.
Right.
And not for nothing, Carrie, yourself, Beth, all great entertainers, all great actors. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see a Broadway actor every day, in this area.
Exactly.
And let alone, as you touched on, Beth, mm-hmm. a part of a show that he has, you know, been a part of when it had its Tony mm-hmm. running run. Mm-hmm. So that is that's a gift to this community. Absolutely. To be able to do something like that and take in somebody like that in this show, along with the great cast. Mm-hmm. There's no bad pieces in this cast. No. Everybody's great at what they're doing.
Yes.
I do think it's a popular show, but I am a little curious just that, I wonder if younger audiences are as familiar with it as we might be. Do you mind giving a bit of a cliff notes, a synopsis about this story, Beth?
I will do my best.
Yes, yes. I was trying to give you a little gray area there, a little leash.
The main character's name is Billy Child. He is the son of bank owners who has a passion for the theater and wants to be in the theater. Mm-hmm. And so there's Zangler's Follies, which is play off on Ziegfeld. And they are to foreclose on a theater in a very small, dusty, out of the way town in Nevada called Dead Rock. So he is sent to go do the foreclosure, falls in love with the daughter of the owner, wants to help. There's some tension there because she's upset that he's there to foreclose. He pretends to be Zangler and brings the show into Dead Rock. And then all of a sudden, Zangler shows up and hilarity ensues.
Yes.
So he's also engaged. So there's some tension there because he's not really in love with his fiance. Mm. And after 5 years, she's like, let's get married. And so there's all of that, subplot tension going on there. Yes. And then you throw in Eric Finn and I as two British just coming in to see what's going on. And it's a wonderful, wonderful show. And it will make you feel good.
Singing, dancing, laughter. You can't ask for much more.
Lots of laughter.
Good stuff.
Who could ask for anything more?
Nicely done.
That is from the show.
Done. Well done. Yes. Yeah. Go well. Well done. I am curious too to know. You mentioned performing here in Wisconsin Rapids at the WRCT stage.
Yes.
I have always wanted to do a show with CWAC.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the work that they do. Mm-hmm. Have so many friends over there working there for many years. It's just been a matter of scheduling and time that I've never done a show with them, but I will one day before it is all said and done. I don't care if I'm 99, I'm doing a show with them. I'm curious how you have enjoyed working with a different theater group, how you've enjoyed that stage. How's that been going?
It's a completely different process there is than it is here, because in Rapids we are blessed to have our own stage.
Yeah.
And so when you're rehearsing in the space where you'll be performing.
Yeah.
They don't have that luxury in Stevens Point. So we're in their rehearsal space called The Shack. So working with outlines, and the interesting challenge that we have is we have double-decker set pieces, but we don't have a double-decker rehearsal space. So we're kind of scrunched in some spots as we're trying to figure out, okay, you're up top, I'm down here, how are we making this work? But the cast could not have been more welcoming. Mm-hmm. It's been a wonderful experience getting to know them. I know that they're there's a desire on their part to work with WRCT, and now there's a desire from WRCT to work with them.
Been hearing a lot about
that. I'm hoping that this is just kind of the beginning of a ball rolling, that there'll be more. I mean, we've seen Carrie on the stage here. We've seen Eric Finn, who's playing Eugene Fodor, my husband, in the show. He was actually in a show with Seth.
Both Carrie and Eric were in
Real Inspector Hall. We all did that one together.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's been great getting to know some of the people that Seth's worked with that I've not worked with, and it's just, it's a wonderful experience. The cast is great.
Since my first show with WRCT and learning from like Linda and Steve, particular Steve, about CWAC, I've never understood why the two don't work together more.
Right.
And as an adult, I grew to understood why there was some pullback from that, from some old management, from some old ways. And I don't begrudge that. I'm not judging that. But in 2023 and going forward, we are all better suited working together.
Right.
It isn't as if people only spend their dollars in Wisconsin. People that live in Rapids only spend their dollars in Rapids. And same thing with people in Point or Plover or anywhere else. All these towns, we all bleed into each other. Why shouldn't we do that with our talent? Why shouldn't we do that with our skill sets and everything? It only, again, a rising tide raises all boats. If CWAC is doing well, maybe that encourages, not maybe, it does encourage others to work here or vice versa. As you both just touched on, and for as long as I've been a part of things in the Rapids, in Central Wisconsin Theater, I've seen this. I've seen people from Point coming to shows here and vice versa. Some of our favorite actors do that on a yearly basis, do that with different shows back and forth. It only makes sense that we work together, that we help each other out, that we share resources, that we share information. It comes down to me, and I've talked with Gretchen about this, the new head over at WRCT, and she's very like-minded about it. I know, because we've had conversations about this long before she was even in the position. What's more important, keeping the lights on and making a profit, or the arts?
Right.
What matters? Is it about the art? Is it about keeping art alive, getting young people interested in art, getting young people to care about this field? If that's the case, then yes, we should be working together. If all you care about is keeping your lights on, then that's fine. You do your own thing, and we'll do our own thing. But I think we understand now that we've got people in these positions that care about the art. That, yes, it's important to keep the lights on. We can't make the light of that. But we can do two things at once. We can do that while celebrating the arts and encouraging more and more people to be a part of these productions from whatever town you're from.
Right.
And, you know, I was just thinking about how we've just been through a period where community theaters have died because of the pandemic, because they were not able to keep the lights on. I think this is a great, going forward, I think we need to be more inclusive with each other, getting these groups together, because that's it only, like you said, James, is only going to make us stronger in the end. Because otherwise, you know, what happens to community theater? We've seen what could happen. Let's not go there again. Let's see if we can make a way so we're not in on that precarious situation again.
We almost lost CWAC. You know, talking the team over there and everything. They had to shut things down during the pandemic. They were not able. We were really spoiled with WRCT, and, and that was not something we had to worry about. Just a block over, we did have to worry about it. So, to your point, man, it all hands on deck. We need everybody on this one. The arts are more important. The future of the arts are too important for us not to work together.
Especially local arts.
Yes, and
those are the first to go.
You can see the gratitude of the cast and crew and everybody that's involved at CWAC to be able to offer this season. And it's an anniversary season for them.
Yeah, that's right.
So all of the plays this year were written, like the book for Crazy for You, Ken Ludwig. So every production you're going to see was written by Ken Ludwig. And so to be able to kick it off with this is wonderful. And I'm looking forward to what this coming week is going to bring, because this is go time. This is our tech week. We're finally getting into the Century Theater, where the performances will take place. We'll get a chance to be on the set and really bring it all together. It's been great at the Shack. We're having a lot of fun. But there are some things that you just can't really polish until you're where you need to be and in that space. So, you know, if you're considering it, come, please. Century Theater, October 27th, 28th, 29th, November 3rd and 4th. Get your tickets. You can go to CWACT.org, I believe.
Got it right here.
Yay. My memory's good.
1800 North Point Drive in Stevens Point is where the Century Theater is located. Mm-hmm. You can get on over there easily and get your tickets at CWAC.org. That's CWAC.org. Otherwise, you can get them right at the front desk the day of the shows, which again kick off Friday, October 27th, go running through November 4th. Find out more again at CWAC.org.
Take a break? Yeah, I think we can take a break now. Right. We'll be back with more with Beth and James and me here on Director's Cut.
All right, because my internet isn't working on my laptop, so I needed to do it here. There we go.
I like this. Okay, this is going to be for the outtakes.
So yeah, yeah. We don't have enough outtakes. We don't really get a lot of those.
Do you have a lot of intakes?
That's got to stay in. That's got to stay in. Welcome back to Director's Cut, everyone, here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Those wonderful laughs you hear of Seth and Beth Habhacker joining us on the show today. Beth, thank you again so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
We made Beth work. We have to have some fun. We've got to give her something fun to do. And I think I came across a good one here. In recognition of Disney's 100th anniversary, MovieWeb.com took on the practical impossible task of ranking the 30 best animated characters. This is a tough one. I have the top 20 in front of me here.
Okay.
So let's tear this to shreds. No, all right. I'm curious to see how much we agree, how much we disagree, and what our personal choices are. Okay. I think that matters.
Yeah.
And I encourage the audience to yell at their radio or their streaming device and play along and everything. Let's have some fun with this and see where we end up. If you don't mind, I think we should start at 20.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
So let's go ahead and start right at number 20. And I think a little bit of a surprise at number 20, Snow White from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
That far down?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, look at that. She's offended already.
I love it. I love it. But that was, I'm with you though, Beth. This isn't even for.
Well, she was the one that started it. She was the first princess in a full-length animated film.
I didn't know that.
The very
she was the very first one. So to have her that far down shocks me.
For the audience that does not know, part of the reason I went to this is because I'm playing into my audience. Beth is not only a big Disney fan, but you worked at Disney for a while.
I did. And so here's your spoiler alert. If you have small children, exit them out of the room quickly.
Yes.
Okay, now that you've done that, one of the things that I did was I figured I'd been a character all my life. I might as well get paid for it.
Yes.
So I went through the auditioning process and got cast as a character. So those walking dwarves and chipmunks and mice and all that you see, I was one of them. So
did you play one in particular more than that?
I played a whole bunch.
Okay. I was always curious about that.
And it's done by height range. So I can't play, like, I am too tall to be Mickey Mouse. Never got to be Mickey.
Huh. The first time she's been too tall
anything. I know.
That's kind of funny.
Too short for most of the other ones, but I'm what we refer to as the chipmunk range. So Chip and Dale were the big ones that I did, but I also did Miko from Pocahontas. I did King Louie from the Jungle King.
Really?
For the
Jungle Book.
Jungle Book, thank you.
I did.
And he was so much fun to play because he's an orangutan. Yeah. We couldn't use our own hands. And so there weren't gloves. There were rods hooked up to prosthetic hands so that the arms were longer than the legs. And with King Louie, you could kind of crouch down and just look like a little puffball kind of thing. So I would do that in the corner. And when the kids would come in for autographs, they'd kind of poke at me and I'd wait just a minute. And then I'd go up with my arms and everybody would laugh. It was so much fun. And Miko, I did as a dining experience.
Damaged
so
kids
I would, I got to go from table to table and Miko's always like that little rascal. Mm. So the staff, especially the waitresses, learned to kind of keep an eye out because if they stood still too long and were too close to a railing, their aprons would be untied and then find themselves tied around the railing.
Oh, man.
Because that's what Miko would do.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. So I started on the college program. So if you're a college student, you can audition, what we call auditioning, which is basically a job interview with Disney to go work there for a semester. And you get credit at your college for working at Disney for a semester, and you get paid to work at Disney for a semester.
Nice gig.
So I did that, had such a good time that when I finished my degree, I moved down for 2 years. So that's what I did between college and seminary. I used to tell people I wasn't ready for the real world. I'm going to go work at Disney World.
Right on. Very cool.
So I, and Seth and I, when we got married, when we had our fifth anniversary, went down and did our honeymoon finally down there and became vacation club members. So we go back at least once or twice a year. Cool. This church that I was a part of there sent me through seminary. So it's kind of like going home.
Well, we know it's nice to know people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Got the end for you there.
So just a little bit of added context to the conversation.
There you go. Yeah, there so you that's go. That's cool. why I know Very so much cool. about the characters.
Cool. Yeah. So Snow White, a little bit of an upset being at number 20 there.
Yeah. It's a lot to me,
And a cool note about her. I did not know that she was the first. That's
really interesting. Yeah, that was the first animated... full-length animated feature.
Yep.
There had been Disney shorts before that. Yeah.
Wow. 19 on the list, Judy Hopps from Zootopia. I'm not familiar with this one.
She is the rabbit who is a cop.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes.
Now I know the character. Yeah.
Yep. Played opposite of Jason Bateman, who played the fox.
The fox.
Yeah.
Is it sad that I have all of this right at the top of my head?
No, it works
total sense.
Yes, it does. It's part of what we like about it. It works.
But she's spunky. I like her.
At 18, Moana from Moana.
Yes.
Yeah. Very popular character.
I'm surprised she's not higher, actually.
I think we're going to be saying that a lot. And then when we get to the top, we're going to be like, oh, okay, we kind of get it.
Now,
because there's
now
so many characters.
Yeah, there are. Well, 100 years of doing animation.
It's a lot.
Thousands and thousands of characters to choose from.
So this is interesting, these next couple. Moana, a bit of a newer character. Mm-hmm. Not new, but a bit of a newer one. At 17, Jiminy Cricket from Pinocchio.
Oh, Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah.
Jiminy Cricket. Sorry. Yeah. I always do that because my name. It's because of my name. Gotcha. I can't help it. But Jiminy Cricket. I mean, top 10, top 5 classic characters?
Well, there's where you get When You Wish Upon a Star.
Which is kind of the unofficial theme of Disney. Yes. Animated stuff is When You Wish Upon a Star,
I mean, there's surprising and then there's shocking to me that it's not higher on the list.
Yeah.
But I also, and there's a little melancholy to this to me, too, of, I don't know how much younger kids, know Jiminy. I don't know how popular he is anymore.
Pinocchio has been coming back as a live action, so there are some newer iterations, but
But it speaks to, I think, when some of us, and I've done this a little bit, too, Disney's not coming up with new stuff. They're just, I'm going to take The Lion King and make it new, make it with real people. I'm going to do that. They take some shots for that, whereas I think that we should look at it more of, they're reintroducing these characters to a whole new generation so they don't get lost, so we don't lose a Jiminy Cricket or somebody like that.
That's right.
I'm starting to see that side of it more than the cynical kind of like, hey, dude, why don't you come up with something new? You're asking them to do it. Where's your new script?
And the nice thing about Jiminy is he's more of a minor character in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not one of the leads, so to have him be that far up is a wonderful testament to how much we love him.
16, Milan from Milan.
Another
newer one.
Some of the newer ones up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they've done a lot more recently, Disney has, of introducing more female characters as leads in a lot of these different ones. And it seems that people are really responding to them. You can see that a lot.
So what are we considering newer? Because Milan came out in like the 90s.
Well, that's true.
That's 30 years ago.
They actually seem to be doing it longer than most.
Well, what's funny is that you're both right. It is newer, and at the same time, it is. It's kind of like, what is the definition of that? And to Seth's point, I don't do a lot of this. I don't give Disney credit very often. I go out of my way to when it comes to this subject, because as a kid growing up, not seeing. I mean, Beth, I think even to a degree you can relate to this. There weren't a whole lot of Disney characters with red hair.
Right.
There were a whole lot of mixed characters, or let alone this breed or this creed or what have you and everything. To see more and more of that. While I'm not a little kid anymore, I got kids, and my kids got to grow up seeing a lot more of this. Mm-hmm. And then their kids are going to see almost nothing but representation.
Yep.
Disney got this. They got this early on, and they realized this pretty early on in the process and got on it very quick with movies like Aladdin and that kind of thing. I give them a lot of credit for that, especially considering where it all started with Walt and everything. I don't know if Walt would have had to go that direction. So I think it's pretty darn cool. and I think it's very, it is so fitting because Disney is bigger than Walt. Disney's yes. bigger mm-hmm. than that. It got bigger than it. It may have started that way, mm-hmm. but it is now. And you need this. It's not only smart business, it's smart for kids, where that's the essence of Disney, is mm-hmm. the children and the youth. So mm-hmm. I think it's very cool. And I think it is noteworthy to mention that Mulan didn't come out yesterday. It came yep. out a long time ago, long right. before we were talking about these things and everything. Mm-hmm. At number 15, a newer character introduced to me because I just recently seen it, and I'm gonna lose you on this one, maybe. At 15, Hades from Hercules.
Yes.
Now, I hadn't seen Hercules when my kids were little, so I just recently saw it like a month or two ago, uh-huh. and I didn't see the whole movie, but I saw the majority of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to be able to take a note here and be able to separate the actor from the person off screen. James Woods, I have no interest in having a beer with.
Right.
But as an actor, I've always admired, and I've mm-hmm. always thought was a good actor, a way better than average actor. Mm-hmm. I'd never really heard him do voice work, but he has a great accent. He has a great tone yes. and a great voice, and he's obviously a very good with his voice. So I was curious going into this, like, well, I bet he probably does a good job. I was blown away. Oh my God, oh, yeah. he was good.
Yeah,
man,
that used car salesman slick kind of
yeah
vibe that sleazy, he gives. Yeah.
Unlike James Woods, Danny DeVito is somebody that I would have like multiple beers mm-hmm. with. Like mm-hmm. I love right. Danny yeah. DeVito. Mm-hmm. I would hang out with him. Not even, I didn't have to talk acting. I just like to hang out with oh, him yeah. and Rhea Perlman. You know, just hanging yeah. out with them would be cool. So I went into it kind of like very focused on his character and his voice acting, and almost forgot about James Woods was in it. And I hear his voice. I'm like, oh yeah, James Woods is in this. And then I see the character and all uh-huh. that, and I'm like, oh, he stole the show. He stole the whole movie from everybody. Just anytime he's on screen, you're laughing. And a big side shout out to Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yes.
Also, some really good voice acting yes. in that from yes. him. Very fun, silly, fun stuff from him. Yeah, good character.
It's one of those fun movies. And while I was working at Disney, they had a whole parade themed around Hercules
oh,
at
cool.
the Disney MGM Studios.
At number 14, my favorite character, my number one, the Pumpkin King, Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas. I make no bones about this. Mm-hmm. Every time around this year, I watch The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
I'll watch that and Sleepy Hollow at least once. I've been doing this since high school. I watch both of those movies every October. So I've been mm-hmm. watching them for quite some time because I'm old. One of the things I didn't expect to happen when I would watch this over the years is, one, get to have my kids get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And now my kids kind of keep that tradition going where they watch Nightmare Before Christmas every Halloween too.
Nice.
But the idea of that these characters I loved so much, and that I not only see my kids loving them, but kids loving them. Like
right.
how popular these characters got, especially with something that for me isn't necessarily, I don't think of Disney when I think of The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's
not
a little
really.
Darker.
Right.
It's a little bit more mm-hmm. edgy and everything. And that these characters are still so celebrated and still so embraced
yep.
all these years later, especially with the style of animation used in that movie
mm-hmm.
that not everybody would get into, but yet these young kids who have all this new animation and all this new mm-hmm. stuff, and they still love it. They like it. They think right. it's cool.
And that's one of the beauties of that film, is they took stop motion animation to a whole new level
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun. And I have to admit, I did not see the movie until last year. That was the first I'd seen. But I fell in love with it. I thought it was very well done.
One of the things I like about that movie and that character in particular is Jack is all spectrum of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not just a dark Pumpkin King character or anything. Mm-hmm. You see
right.
him vulnerable. You see him
yes.
scared. You see, which for little kids, I think as adults, we forget this all the time, and understandable. But it's important for a little kid. What I was talking about with representation, just as important with, well, I've felt fear, and I see Jack feels fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know it's okay to be afraid. I know it's okay to be afraid of new things and to give them a chance. There's so many little lessons in that movie
yeah.
that are fed to kids without them knowing it.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of mm-hmm. thing. Giving them the medicine and the candy, you know, mm-hmm. giving them that kind of thing. And I think that movie's does a master job of that mm-hmm. with so many levels. And it's just fun. The
right.
music. Yeah. I'm not a musical guy. Oh. I sing the songs of that movie all year round. All year round.
This is Halloween.
You say one note of that, and I will pick up the rest.
Yes. Yeah. Danny Elfman is such an underrated
yes.
composer. Oh, my gosh. That's one of the most brilliant things he ever mm-hmm. did.
Absolutely agreed. Completely yeah. agreed. At number 13, Minnie Mouse.
What? Ooh,
Minnie's all the way down at 13.
Whoa. Oof. That is low. That's tough. That's tough. Yeah.
Poor Minnie. Recall. I call for a recall.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Especially because there's some here that I'm looking at that I like, but I'm a little, number 12, Rapunzel from Tangled.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a fun character. Yeah.
That's higher than I would have expected for her, though.
Right, me too. Yeah. I don't have a problem with her on the list, but way higher than ahead of Minnie Mouse.
Yeah,
and that's a little surprising. Number 11, Baloo from The Jungle Book.
Oh, yes. I mean, look for the bare necessities.
Not only is it, I mean, Baloo is one of the best, you know, most fun characters that I've run a Disney movie. He's voiced by the great Phil Harris, which is one of my all-time favorite total entertainers.
Yes.
You know, I just did a thing on recently because I had the song on Trail Tunes by him, a kind of novel. He did novelty songs back in the 40s.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And he did a couple like that. And so I went through his whole career. He started out as a drummer in a band. Then, of course, he was hired to be Jack Benny's orchestra leader. And then while he was that, he found out he was one of the funniest people on the planet.
Right.
And the persona that he had. And then later in his career, he did all those Disney voices for Little John from Robin Hood as well.
Whoa.
And a couple of other Disney characters he did over the years.
Mm-hmm. Of course he did Little John.
And he has a great song in that movie, too. But so that's why I love Baloo so much, just because of Phil Harris.
Very cool. And yeah, beloved character.
Yeah.
Number 10, Cinderella.
Yikes.
I see her in the top 10.
But she did make the top 10. Wasn't going to say Jack, my other favorite character, of course, the genie from Aladdin. Voiced by the legend Robin Williams.
Of course,
I'm going to be biased about that one. But legendary work there. It's saying something with that man and that career that is like one of the things that stands out when he did so much great work.
Yes, and the fact that he was reluctant, you know, at first.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
stars at the time did not do animated films. It's not until only recently you've seen that.
Yep. Yep.
But the brilliance that he brought to it. With everything he did, he brought, you know, 100%.
Right.
Of course.
And it's important to note that was not the only character that he did for Aladdin.
Yes.
He also did the opening narration.
Yep.
And they have hours of him they put him in a room with different objects and let him go.
Robin did this with a couple of things. And with this in particular, I think he raised the bar of voice acting.
Yes.
I genuinely think that. Am I biased? Yes. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. I really do think that he's changed the game.
Yeah.
And not only did he make it okay for more A-list stars to do this and trailblaze that, but all of a sudden, he did voice acting, not like an actor doing voice acting. He did it like Frank Oz would or like a lot of the greats would, like he would. For those that don't know, Robin, a student of the game. So.
Yeah.
A really real quick personal story about that. That was, you know, like 92, 93. I'm, you know, in between, I'm going to that phase like I don't want to watch Disney movies anymore. Those are for little kids. So we went to the movie and I'm like watching it, whatever. As soon as the genie pops out and you hear the stuff Robin's doing, I was there.
Yeah.
I was into it just because of his performance and how much fun it was, you know?
We're in the same boat on that. We're in the same boat. I was going to watch it mainly because of Robin.
Yep.
But I was I was really going to just fast forward and all that. I got into the movie because of Robin's character.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
As we're running low on time here, I'm just going to speed through a couple of these and we'll talk about them once I get them out there.
All right.
At number 8, Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty. Number 7, Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. 6, Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. Elsa at number 5 from Frozen. Number 4, Winnie the Pooh. Number 3, Goofy. Number 2, Donald Duck. And of course, at number 1 is Mickey Mouse.
As it should be, I suppose.
I don't think any of us are going to have an issue with number 1. Not only does it gotta be. I mean, that's one of the most iconic characters in anything ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Most recognizable character around the world.
Yeah.
I love that this was done by a lot of younger people, and that top 3 is Mickey, Donald, and Goofy.
Yes, yep.
How
classics.
Iconic and cool is that to see? And a personal favorite, Winnie the Pooh getting in there at number 4.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Like, I love that Winnie the Pooh's still relevant.
Yeah.
Kids still like Winnie. That's awesome. That is pretty cool.
Goofy's always been my favorite. Of the core Disney characters, Goofy's always been my favorite by far.
I really love him. I really don't mind this top 10 too much.
Not really.
I keep in mind that I understand that the younger people pushing Elsa a little bit farther up there.
Yeah, and that's the one that really surprised me. You know, I'm not surprised she's in the top 10 or the top 20. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised how far up she is because she's so newer. But she's also one of the first openly gay animated Disney characters.
That's true.
So there's a whole new aspect to her that has not been there in the past. And you talked about representation. How great is that? Mm-hmm. That they're finally claiming that for the LGBTQ plus community as well.
Very important going forward. It's also really cool to see, again, this was all in recognition of Disney's 100th anniversary.
Yeah.
Disney's still kicking out hits.
Oh, yeah.
100 years in, and they got, like, I know Frozen was some years ago, but they've had others since then, and Frozen 2 since then. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that was gigantic. And you keep thinking, well, the next project can't be as big as the last one.
Oh.
And then they up the game, and it's even bigger than the last movie that
the
came
out. The next one that's coming out, I am excited about. Ariana DeBose is voicing the princess Asia in Wish.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
And there have been some previews if you've been watching Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no.
Have to get that in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
They did a trailer for it, and it looks amazing. They did a little bit of behind-the-scenes work and showed her, and cool. I can't wait to go see that one.
Beth, also our Dancing with the Stars correspondent, yes. So that should be noted. And you can see Beth, along with the other great cast members of Crazy for You, coming up. They will be at part of the CWAC production Friday, October 27th through November 4th. Get your tickets at CWAC.org and meet them at the Century Theater for a great show. And keep in mind that the Winter Farmers Market is going on right now over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Join them every Saturday for that. Thanks so much for joining us, Beth.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It was a fun one.